1700 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. It's Election Day in New Hampshire. Voters in the Republican primary choosing between Donald Trump and Nikki Haley, who, according to ABC News political director Rick Klein, has an uphill climb to victory.
If she has blown out anything like the Trump's victory last week, I just don't see how there's a path forward for her any more than it was for Ron DeSantis or Chris Christie or the other candidates who have already fallen by the wayside.
In tiny Dixville Notch, traditionally the first place in New Hampshire to vote, casting all six of its votes for Nikki Haley. A man suspected of shooting and killing eight people in Joliet, Illinois, outside Chicago, fatally shot himself after a confrontation with sheriff's deputies in Texas. Romeo Nance taking his own life. No word on a motive for the Illinois killings. 21 soldiers killed in the Gaza Strip. It was the deadliest attack on IDF troops since the war began in early October. Nearly 30,000 California state faculty members back at work, reaching a tentative contract deal on day one of their strike. This is ABC News. A rogue wave smashing into an American military base in the Marshall Islands, causing havoc.
Keep the door closed. Whoa!
A massive wave hit a U.S. military base on a remote island in the Pacific. The force of the water ripping the doors from their hinges, taking two people with them. Those inside climbed on tables, clinging to anything they could reach. Moments later, a second wave rushes in, knocking out windows. Thankfully, only minor injuries were reported.
That's ABC's Rhiannon Alley. A Pentagon study has warned rising sea levels could lead to more destructive waves and island flooding like that. Several weeks' worth of rain inundating San Diego in a matter of hours, flooding, forcing a state emergency. Hundreds of people had to be rescued. And a monster of a night for Philadelphia's 76ers center Joel Embiid.
Joel drives it down the lane. Left-hand layup. It's up and good.
And the call on WPEN, that basket marking 70 points for him in a win over San Antonio. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Governor Evers lays out his priorities for 2024 when he delivers his State of the State address. I'm News Director Terry Bell. Join Civic Media's Todd Albaugh and me as we bring you the governor's speech live, right here, Tuesday night at 7, followed by the Republican response. Todd and I will help you understand what it means for you, your family, and your community. Join us for the governor's State of the State address, Tuesday night at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Hospital Sisters Health System announced Monday that they are closing two hospitals in western Wisconsin, the Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls will both close by the end of April. They say the closures are due to prolonged operational and financial stress placed on the hospitals that began with COVID. Vice President Kamala Harris was in suburban Waukesha County Monday while the legal battle over reproductive rights in Wisconsin wages on.
In a state whose motto is forward, these extremists are trying to take us backward. Well, we're not having that.
State lawmakers took testimony Monday on a bill to put a shorter window on legal abortion to a statewide referendum this spring. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks sweep the Pistons. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks held on to win the second of two games in Detroit with a 122-113 victory over the Pistons. Giannis with a triple-double, scoring 31 points. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
To pull away at the end, and these are tough games to play.
you know, back-to-back on someone's own home court. Man, we did what we had to do, and I thought both teams, you know, played great, but I thought we, you know, we showed our character and our resiliency at the end. So it's another really good road win.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers in Minnesota tonight to face the Gophers. Wisconsin dropping two spots to 13th ranked in the nation, despite beating Indiana at home over the weekend. Marquette has moved up three spots to 14, right behind the Badgers. After the Golden Eagles won on the road against St. John, 73-72, they traveled to Chicago to play DePaul on Wednesday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy with some areas of freezing drizzle, even a couple of snow showers possible today. Our high right around 34 this afternoon. Tonight we'll drop to 31, still a little light freezing drizzle or snow possible. And then tomorrow cloudy with rain showers, 36. And we're going to keep it warm with highs well into the 30s through the rest of the week, the weekend, and beyond. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number two of Mino the Mayor. This segment brought to you by Midwest Restoration, family owned since 2008. Commercial and residential restoration. If you've got a problem, your pipes break, if you have a fire, if you have a sewer backup, if your furnace breaks and you have water all over the basement, call these guys. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 920 Midwest. 920 Midwest. We're going to have Ryan on. Is it tomorrow, Todd?
Yes, he is on tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
All the things you can do to prevent from having to call those guys. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've been promoting this all week. We are really. Have you ever been to Osawatomie, Kansas, either one of you guys?
Osawatomie,
Kansas.
Can't say I have.
Okay, what is, quick trivia, what is the high school football field named in Osawatomie, Kansas?
I can guess.
What is it?
The Lynn Dickey Field.
You're dang right.
And it should be. We got to get one up here, too, in Green Bay.
And joining us right now, the pride of Osawatomie, Clifford Lynn Dickey. Linwood.
Morning, John. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm okay. This winter, so far, I just hate winter.
Yeah.
And normally, I live in Kansas City, as you know, and normally it's not that bad, but boy, we got that cold snap like I think everybody did, and it won't let go, except I did see next week we're going to be up in the 50s. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, there you go.
Light at the end of the tunnel, John Boy.
Did you do anything for the Chiefs this year?
No.
Okay.
No, I have not done anything ever for the Chiefs.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought you did like a post-game show or something.
No, we did a...
Or pregame. I did a
show kind of like yours.
Yeah.
Except I would never get up that early.
Yeah, right.
I did that for probably 3 or 4 years.
Okay, because I was on it one time, and you called me back and said, well, you're the best guest we ever had. Remember that?
Yeah, sure, Lynn.
No, I don't remember.
Okay, well,
that's good.
Taking some hits. I mean, you know,
well, Lynn, he tries with everybody, with all our special guests. But yeah. I would agree.
Lynn, very first question, top of the list that anybody would love to know your opinion of Jordan Love.
I tell you, for the first year, I'd say fantastic. I went to 3 games this year, and I think after. Let me see. That was the New Orleans game I went to and the Rams game and the Chiefs game. And they won all of them.
Yeah.
But there was a point there in the season I'm thinking, boy, this looks like 6-11. and that's okay. So, you know, they just kept believing. You could, you know, as I'd watch a game, you could just tell the guys were getting more confidence and more confidence. And I'm not even talking about Jordan Love. I'm talking about the rest of the guys, because, you know, the rest of the team has to do their thing. You know, that the playoff game against Dallas was fantastic.
Right.
You know, that, and pretty darn good at San Francisco. Pretty darn good. If we don't drop a couple of pick sixes,
yeah,
one of them for sure, wow, that game turns incredibly different.
Yeah.
But I just knew defensively we're not quite there. You know, we need another piece or two. But when those D-backs, when a ball hits them right in the chest, there's a reason that they're D-backs, not wide receivers.
Yep. So,
yeah, but all in all, pretty darn good, I'd say. Pretty darn good.
Yeah, Lynn, for you to rate him fantastic, like what do you see in him? John Minow, right away you liked him.
Yeah. Well, I liked the way he could throw on the run, and he wasn't accurate early on.
Right.
But he had that athleticism that I thought, you know, you harness this and put it together, you'd rather start with that and kind of mold a little bit, you know, versus the opposite way. So I enjoyed that and the really live arm, Lynn. Those are the things I saw real early with him. Then it's just a matter of working with that.
Well, when you say live arm, and you know, as I rate guys, John, do you remember what I always
yep.
wanted number one in a quarterback? What was it?
Well, accuracy.
Accuracy.
Yeah.
Very good. Darn, all those years you were paying attention for a while.
Well,
anyway.
Let me say this, and this is no lie. I'm not blowing smoke up your butt here, Lynn, but let me tell you about how Lynn Dickey can judge quarterbacks. Packers drafted Rich Campbell number one.
Yeah.
Lynn, the first time he played catch with Rich Campbell, what did you say, Lynn?
I turned to James Lofton and I said, this guy can't play.
Yep. First time he played
he
catch
goes,
with
him. Well, we've only been wow. playing catch for 5 minutes. I'm telling you, that guy is a great kid. He's a really good person, but he cannot play this game at this level. He just can't do it.
That's the honest to God true story.
Wow.
Wow. Boy, we'll see. I said, yeah, you'll see.
We saw.
Well, yeah.
I remember, John, I told you, I think I told you that, golly, who was an agent for Heath Shuler.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that name?
Yes, yes. I know this story, too.
His agent hired me to go down there and work with him for one day a week for 2 months prior to his pro day. And his head was just hard as a rock. He just would not listen to anything. Hey, you know, I know what I'm doing. Oh, man, you know, just get away from me. You know, he didn't know whether I'd ever played or didn't know anything about me, and which is fine. That's not what I was looking for. I said, you need to do what I'm telling you to do, because I need to get you ready for this little combine you're having right here at Tennessee. And if you don't listen to me, you're going to look like a schmuck. And brother, he was first team all schmuck.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he got drafted.
High.
My job was to get him third pick in the first round.
Right.
Ken Anderson was the quarterback coach at that time for Cincinnati. Kenny and I were the same age coming out. I played 15. He played 16 years and had a great coach. And of course, you know, his offensive coordinator was some guy named, Bill Walsh.
Yeah, that's right.
While he was in Cincinnati in the early days. So, but Kenny comes over to me at this pro day, and he says, how you doing? I said, good to see you, pal. And, you know, we're roommates in the North-South Shrine game back in the day. And he says, what do you think of this guy? Do you think he can play? And I went, nope.
Wow.
He goes, wow. I don't either. I just don't see it. You know, I'm just down here because the team told me to come down and take a look. So he could run like a deer. He ran like, probably he was 6'3", 2 1/4, probably ran 4'6", lifted 2 1/4, 25, 30 times, something like that. He threw it right through a brick wall, but he didn't know where it was going. And I kept telling him, you need to be accurate with this ball, and you're not thinking about it. You're not working on it. And it's amazing how many guys just don't ever think of the accuracy part. They think, well, the pro receivers are going to reach up and grab it no matter where it is within a 3 or 4 foot circle. But boy, Bob Schnelker beat that into my mind and my brain. And and if you didn't throw a screen pass accurately, boy, he was on your tail. So that is the number one thing that you, well, I won't say it's number one. It's number two, actually. Smart is number one.
We had Paul Kaufman on the other day, and he said people have no idea how accurate Lynn Dickey was downfield. He said to hit James Lofton, a world-class sprinter, like on a dime.
Yeah.
He said that's so much harder than it looks from the stands. How did you develop that, Lynn? You're such a – I mean, you could complete every short pass you wanted, but you were so accurate deep downfield. Where did that come from?
I can't tell you, but even in high school, I can remember – I remember at practice one day, and there was our practice was the field was not at our high school. It was about half a mile away, and we had to jog down there every day. And it was called 10 acres, and we had no lines on the field or anything like that. So, but there was a kid that was like a year or two behind me. And he was on his bicycle, and he kept going around the field and saying, doing the normal, you're stupid, you know, little mature things like that. And I remember him sailing by and giving us the raspberries, and I remember grabbing a ball. He pissed me off so bad. I fired it about 50, 60 yards and hit him right in the head. Knocked him off the bicycle.
Oh my accuracy. God. There you go.
That's phenomenal. That sounds like something on Napoleon Dynamite where you hit him on the bike with a stake. That's phenomenal. How far could you throw it?
I don't know where it comes from or came from, but I was always I never wanted a guy to be able to come back to huddle and go, man, boy, if you'd have just hit me in stride on that, I'd have probably scored. And said, well, I'm going to tell you, I'll hit you in stride. And if you don't score, that's your fault. But my job is to get it there right on the money and timing and all that stuff. So I don't know. I just thought that was a really important thing to do and part of the game. And a lot of, Patrick Mahomes, that guy, he's freaky.
Yeah.
The things he, but he's not real dead on accurate. Who do you think is maybe the most accurate passer that you've seen in a long time?
Actually, Aaron Rodgers, I'll be honest with
you. Aaron Rodgers was the most accurate guy I've ever seen in the game. He really was. It's starting to scare me. I'm thinking like you.
I know. I know.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a headache, matter of fact.
Yeah, me too. Wow. Yeah.
You've always had a headache. Just think if you'd have been another foot taller, you could have seen over the line in your college.
Yeah. Well, up early for this.
Jim, for this. So interesting, yeah.
For this.
Hey, Lynn.
We ran the beer, Lynn. I didn't have to see over the line.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Hey, Lynn, we got to set a quick break. Can you hang on for literally 60 seconds? We'll be right back.
You get
thanks.
Thanks,
here.
Buddy. Lynn Dickey joining us back right after this.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try soon. Harry's is available online and in-store at a retailer near you. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/quality. That's harrys.com/quality. Or check us out at your local Costco for a price you can't find anywhere else. Just look for the Chrome Razor with 13 blade refills at your local Costco. You can't miss it. Exclusive to Costco members.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey, welcome back. My name is the mayor here on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Former Packer Lynn Dickey joining us. This is great stuff we're getting here. And Jim, you had a question for Lynn.
Well, it's so great to hear you, Lynn, and to rate our quarterback is fantastic. That's a high rating. And you said, you know, the number one you look for is smartness.
Accuracy and
smartness and accuracy. Can I just ask you a couple other quarterbacks that are out there right now? Because I read most of this stuff. I don't know it as well as like a John Mino, but what about Dak Prescott? I mean, they're hating on him now in Dallas, but do you think he's worth what he wants? Is he smart and accurate?
I think he's a pretty sharp kid. You know, his intelligence level doesn't bother me with him. I just don't know if you, I think with him, it's the whole package. You know, he's pretty good at about everything. Again, you know, I go with intelligence, accuracy, arm strength, and mobility. You know, he's pretty much got all those things, but I think he's at a lower tier of it. You gotta be pretty bad to screw up that team.
Yeah.
If you got a defensive team that's really good, and you've got and you're able to run the football offensively like they can,
right?
I mean, you look at the Dallas Cowboys and go, well, they're really bad at this. Well, what is that? I don't see it. You know, they're not great at anything, but it's pretty easy to play the quarterback position. I mean, you got to be really bad to screw it up sometimes. Like the 49ers. 49ers might get to the Super Bowl, but I am not a big Brock Purdy guy. No. I think he's just a guy. Yep. What do you call that? A jag.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
He's just a guy that happens to be on a team where there's 21 really good players all around him. But at some point, as a quarterback, if you're just a guy, you need to step up and play fantastic, because you can look good when you got all the other pieces around you, defense and running game and all those, and some talented wide receivers, which, you know, the wide receiver crew for the Pack, where did all those guys come from?
Right. And,
but, you know, throughout the year, they weren't there in the first three games. They just weren't there. But boy, they all got confidence, and then another one would come out of the woodwork and go, I don't even remember that guy being on the team.
Yep.
But they worked as a crew and a bunch, and now you've got four or five guys there that are pretty darn good. But Dallas, I don't know. I don't see it. They're missing something, and like I say, when you got a good team around you, and it's not your day, and they're not all playing with the fire and intensity that they need to, you need to step up your game and carry them for a series or two or whatever it is to get over the hump and win that game. And, you know, in that Cowboy-Packer game where the Pack just came out and threw a haymaker right in their jaw on the first drive and never got it back. I don't know if you noticed the look on Dak Prescott's face.
Yep.
I mean, it looked like he was just had seen Sasquatch or something. Like, what the heck is going on here?
Yep.
And I mean, I've been in games like that where I know we're better than the other team, man for man. We're better than they are. But guys just aren't snapping out of it. You know, you got to realize that early. And some head coaches, I remember, feel it. You know, they feel when the warm-ups, when the team's not really playing at 100% energy level. And they say something, they do something. Other guys don't do it. They just let it go and say, well, they're a veteran team. You know, boom, they're going to get it together and we'll get going here as the game goes on. But the Cowboys never really got that game, never got into the game.
Right.
Lynn, I know the number one thing you always wanted, and you had pretty good ones, but I know you always said if Eddie Lee Ivory had stayed healthy, it would have been an entirely different career for you because of that quick running back. I remember one time you told me it's the only running back where you had to be conscious of turning really quick after you got the snap because he was at the line so fast. I think Aaron Jones has a little bit of that, don't you?
Oh, he's good. He's really good. You know, I don't how long was he out?
Who, like 6 weeks? Was it 4 or 5 weeks? Yeah.
And what was his first game back? Well, it wasn't that Cowboy game, was it?
Right before that.
Yeah, I think before that.
Right before that. Well, I don't know if y'all noticed, but to me, when I, as that Cowboy game started, and even in, their last game was Detroit, I think. Was it not the last game of the season?
Yes.
Detroit. He looked like he had so fresh legs.
Yeah.
I mean, he was.
No, Chicago.
Chicago was their last game in January.
In the regular season, yeah.
Okay. He just looked like he was so fresh and had so much energy in his legs. And
yeah.
Boy, as the season goes, you know, I can relate to that. You know, as a quarterback, even, you know, you throw and you throw and you throw and you try not to throw, overthrow. But some guys, it doesn't bother. I mean, I could feel my arm almost dead. And we'd take a Florida or a West Coast trip, and I almost wouldn't throw for a day and a half. And then the warm-ups of the game, it was like, wow, you know, I've got so much zip in my arm. It's come back. It was dead for a while, but now it's back. And that's what I saw in Aaron Jones's legs. He just was so spry and running like a filly around the field.
And does he really, the other thing about, he really seems to enjoy that game, doesn't he? I mean, he comes off and is always smiling. I think he's great. I'm so glad he's healthy and wish we would have gone further. Hey, can I, Johnny's got a question for you, but I just want to ask you.
We're going to wrap it up here in a minute.
Oh, we're going to wrap it up. All right, well, I'll do it next.
Hey, Lynn, quick, just one question for you. Who are you taking to win it all, Kansas City?
Hard to bet against them.
Yeah.
That's a great game in Baltimore. I tell you, that Lion 49er game is going to be really good, too.
I agree.
I would not count the Lions out. I mean, they got hosed in that Cowboy game.
Yeah.
End of the season. But I tell you, was it Dan Campbell? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah. Yep.
Coach? Boy, he's got it. And you talk about intensity, and his whole team plays just like that. They do. Packers need about two guys defensive line wise upgrades to really get to upper level. And in that game, I could just tell that defense is not going to hold.
Nope.
They're just not going to hold. And they didn't. They let it down there at the end. But anyway, all good.
Lynn, this has been so much fun. Great to talk to you.
Always good. Yeah, thank you, John.
Lynn, I know it's been a lot of years, but do you still feel guilty about selling that 1982 yellow Buick with the engine that blew like after 3 months?
No, you're just always looking for some sucker to come along.
There you go.
Boy, you had a capital S on your chest, brother. Wasn't Superman.
Thank you, Lynn Dickey.
All right, Lynn Dickey.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for joining us. Lynn Dickey, how much fun was that? We're going to set a quick break. Sandra Rink is in the house. Back right after this.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. It's Election Day in New Hampshire. Voters in the Republican primary choosing between Donald Trump and Nikki Haley, who, according to ABC News political director Rick Klein, has an uphill climb to victory.
If she has blown out anything like the Trump's victory last week, I just don't see how there's a path forward for her any more than it was for Ron DeSantis or Chris Christie or the other candidates who have already fallen by the wayside.
In tiny Dixville, Notch, traditionally the first place in New Hampshire to vote, casting all six of its votes for Nikki Haley. A man suspected of shooting and killing eight people in Joliet, Illinois, outside Chicago, fatally shot himself after a confrontation with sheriff's deputies in Texas. Romeo Nance taking his own life. No word on a motive for the Illinois killings. 21 soldiers killed in the Gaza Strip. It was the deadliest attack on IDF troops since the war began in early October. Nearly 30,000 California State faculty members back at work, reaching a tentative contract deal on day one of their strike. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden will be in Superior on Thursday to talk about the bipartisan infrastructure bill. He's coming on the heels of the announcement that Wisconsin and Minnesota are getting $1 billion to replace the Blatnik Bridge that connects Superior to Duluth. Details on exactly when and where the president will talk have not yet been released. Vice President Kamala Harris came to Big Bend, Wisconsin on Monday to tout reproductive rights. Wisconsin agriculture officials are reminding farmers to apply for crop insurance premium rebates through the end of January. The coverage is only offered on a first-come, first-served basis. There's no limit on acres an applicant can apply for, though farmers who got state or federal cost-sharing to plant cover crops in 2023 are not eligible this year. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy with some areas of freezing drizzle, even a couple of snow showers possible today. Our high right around 34 this afternoon. Tonight we'll drop to 31, still a little light freezing drizzle or snow possible. And then tomorrow cloudy with rain showers, 36. And we're going to keep it warm with highs well into the 30s through the rest of the week, the weekend, and beyond. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Todd Almost Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
It's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Governor Evers lays out his priorities for 2024 when he delivers his State of the State address. I'm News Director Terry Bell. Join Civic Media's Todd Albaugh and me as we bring you the governor's speech live, right here, Tuesday night at 7, followed by the Republican response. Todd and I will help you understand what it means for you, your family, and your community. Join us for the governor's State of the State address, Tuesday night at 7 here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street,
this is Oshkosh Air Support.
1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Take my...
Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Boy, special thanks to Lynn Dickey for joining us. Very interesting guy, wasn't he, Sandra?
He's great.
Did you used to know him back in the day?
Well, I was a kid then. It was the 70s, right?
Because your good friend was married to a Packer player when Sherry. He was the quarterback, right?
Well, was it Lynn Dickey the 70s?
No, he was into 80s? The 80s.
Oh, he was.
His last year was 85.
No, so I would have been in college then.
Oh, okay. But just a good guy. I used to do a radio or TV shows with him and everything. He was just awesome.
He still sounds pretty sharp.
He does, and he is. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Really good.
Good.
Today we have a super special guest that we brought in.
Yes.
So this is the time of the year where, and this isn't just about selling your house. This is just about living in your house. So a lot of people, including myself, are organizing right now, purging, getting rid of things. And I think a key statement is don't shuffle the, get rid of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, Leslie Vogel is a local organizational person. She organizes people's homes. And we've talked in the past, and one of the little nuggets that she gave me at one point in time was, you have these zones in your house. And if it's a hot zone, you should touch everything in it. And if you don't touch everything in it, it shouldn't be in that zone. That's like you're like by your back hall, or like for me, it's our back hall area. So I went through there and got rid of a ton of stuff that shouldn't have been there, and it made my life a lot easier. So I thought it would be helpful to bring Leslie in to talk about how do you start organizing, like where do you start? Because that's a pivot point for some people. They don't even know what to do. And then what are some good methods, like just some good advice, and then how do you maintain it?
I'm going to pay close attention because I would be the most perfect client for you, because I would think you would want somebody that's just terrible at that, and then, you know, makes it more fun for you. So I would be that person. So what Sandra said, jump in and go right ahead. And welcome. It's great having you here.
Well,
thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Leslie.
Thank you for having me. You know, I had spoken with Sandra a few months ago, just talking about, you know, how she can give some advice to her clients. And what came out as we were talking was these high rent districts. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I could give people anytime the Instagram or Pinterest moment. But I think what's most important is understanding that it's all baby steps. So, you know, for the practical, you know, I would say looking around at your space right in front of you and figure out, like, where is your hub? Is it in your kitchen? Is it in your office? Is it in your drop zone coming into your home? Where is it that things accumulate? And, you know, what I really find is half the things, if not 75% of the things that are in that zone are not something you are touching daily, weekly, or monthly. So when it comes to, you know, having a calm and effective and organized space, I really suggest getting rid of everything that's in front of you that you are not using frequently.
And when you say get rid of, you mean toss out, not just put someplace else.
Well, of course.
Because I'm good at taking that stuff and put it another place. And then
that's called shuffling.
Yes. Okay.
That is called shuffling.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
No, there are valuable things that are in this space, but they just aren't necessary right there. So what I really ask people to do is, you know, take baby steps, because you cannot expect anyone to start a half marathon, you know, run a half marathon tomorrow. And this is really a process. So looking at what's in front of you and moving that piece to the place it belongs, and then come back to where you are. And it doesn't mean you're throwing it out. If you're ready to throw it out, I am by all means very pro. But what I would suggest is taking the time to move these things to the item or these items to the place where they should finally be, but turn around on your heel and go back to your original spot, because it's very easy to get dragged into moving from place to place to place and really getting nothing done in your original spot.
Jim had a question, but chomped at the bit.
Well, a couple things, Leslie, but this isn't when it's time to sell your house. This is something you should just do because it's New Year's or anytime, right?
Right.
And fresh start.
And I think you'd live a little bit more comfortably. I think that's why sometimes people like hotel rooms, because they're not so cluttered. You go home, it's like, oh, this doesn't feel the same. To declutter, which is another word, what would you recommend people do with it? Because throwing things out, you could say, does it have value? Maybe only to you or only to me. But it has value. I know what I paid for it. I don't
And I don't know, are you a big rummage sale person or eBay person, or what do you suggest?
You know, I think back, 10, 15 years ago, that was much more effective.
What garage sales?
To do garage sales, eBay. But I think, you really hit on a sensitive topic for a lot of people as they are trying to downsize or even just relocate. There is a certain monetary and emotional value that we can place on everything in our home. The problem is that, when it comes to giving things to our kids, they are not necessarily going to find that value emotionally and, the expense. So that's very hurtful for some people, but it's really a very cathartic experience when, I'm working with someone and they can look at their items and say, I think so-and-so is going to want it. And the first thing I do is say, take a picture, text them, let's find out. And literally 80% of the time, no one wants it.
Yeah.
And it takes a moment, right? Like it's a gulp, pause, gulp. Right.
I made that, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But
or it was grandma's.
Right.
Yeah. So the things that add, that we find value in doesn't necessarily translate. And I think taking that on at that exact moment is the best way to move forward and release your items.
Why are you not a fan of garage sales?
Oh, you know what?
Versus the effort versus the reward?
I think that, for a while there was a real tax benefit to getting rid of some of your things, like dropping them off. I love St. Vincent de Paul. I love the women's closet at the YWCA because I work with a lot of, business people and they were passing on wonderful things. But I just think that it used to pay off, but now I don't see the economic benefit. And really, it's stressful.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at your things again, and you're looking at people looking at your things and not finding value.
I've never done one because I was afraid of that. So, have something for $2 and somebody would say, I'll give you a buck. And it's take a hike. You know what I mean? I wouldn't handle that. Todd, how would I handle that?
Shocker.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
You want to cross John. No,
Sandra, this is great. But this is a part of what you guys do too, isn't it? When you go into to list somebody's house.
I think one of the massive benefits that we offer people, it would take someone, if they did it all day, every day, a solid month to do what we do in a day.
Yeah.
And the reason is we're not connected. We're not emotionally attached to it.
Yeah.
So we go through and we're like, but we don't throw anything out. We set it aside for people and say, you need to find a new home for this. But the hard part about the whole there's two things to what Leslie does though. It's decluttering, right? Getting rid of things, but it's also organizing. Because you can have things in your house, but you hit on it earlier. If it's in find the right spot where it makes the most sense for your life. Because when you're organized in your home, it's amazing how much easier your day goes.
Yeah.
I think there are two things that we're talking about here.
I've read something about that, where that clutter can cause stress.
And people don't realize it because I think after a while you don't see it, right?
Right.
But when it's we hear it all the time and we do people's houses, they're like, it's anxiety. It's hard for them. But when they come home and they're like, they've been there a few days, they're like, wow, we feel totally different. Like, yeah, I know you do.
And I can tell you, that's one of the reasons why I do what I do. I find it cathartic. I find, it's almost, you need a psychology, minor, which fortunately I've got because, you need that helping people remove their things. But I think what's most important is, looking at what's around you and is there a value and feeling, open to releasing those things.
My problem though, and again, it's better being a professional like yourself, versus me or Jim, this exact thing happened to you recently. Donna told you to go down to the basement and go through a bunch of stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
And what do? You find a box of stuff I forgot about. You start reading it, and you start looking.
Oh, my gosh.
You get nothing done. Didn't that just happen
to
you?
Totally just happened. Where to start is a big thing. So we got the foyer or downstairs. It was kind of like this, storage room. And I went down there and was starting to go through a bin. And you start reading things. Yep. And I got nothing done. I think I read all day. And she comes downstairs. She goes, well, what were you doing? Did you fall asleep? I'm like, no, all I did was shuffle.
You went down the rabbit hole.
That's exactly right.
And that really is why a professional and someone who is not attached to your items is really helpful. Because I can walk in and ask someone, what does that mean to you? Is it something that is, a family heirloom? Obviously, that needs to stay. But if it's just an emotional connection, and you need to get brought back to, like, let's, you know, let's set this aside and come back and, you know, start where we need to move forward.
Let me ask you this, though. Like, wherever I've worked, where I've had a desk, I've always gotten complaints because my desk is so messy. Larry McCarron said sharing an office with me was like sharing an office with a rodent. Okay? So, but
whoa. Jim Schmidt said that too.
That's a visual.
Yes, me. That's Larry McCarron for you. That's Larry McCarron for you. But what I'm saying is, I always felt like I was okay with that because I was a little bit more creative then. And sometimes I felt like some people felt like they really accomplished something because their desk was really clean versus really accomplishing something else in the creative field. So I felt like that was kind of like a catch-22 type thing. Your opinions on that on people's office space?
Well, I think paper is just evil, regardless. Okay. So what I find, though, is that the stacks that accumulate in an office and a home are very stressful, and it's hard to recall that information. So what my number one suggestion is literally getting file folders, and when things come in and start to accumulate, whether it be your kids' sports, whether it be bills, label it, put it in a stack, and then as things continue to move into your house, you always have that one place to put it and to come back to. And one thing that you know, we didn't touch on is what is the most beneficial, and the feedback that I've gotten is that when you take the time to organize a space, to containerize a space, and then to label a space, not only does it make it amazing for you and calm your entire you know, environment, but also everyone you work with, everyone you live with also knows where to find it, where to put it back, and how to maintain the space.
But would you say in Wisconsin it's a little tougher because of the four seasons, right? I mean, there's things, if you say, well, if you don't use it in a month, well, a shovel. I mean, just there's some scrapers, some things in the house, things for the dog that you use in the winter more than you use in the
summer.
That's
a slippery slope. That can be a slippery slope because I think people talk themselves into keeping a whole bunch of stuff. One of the things
is that what I'm doing?
Yes. Kind of, sort of.
Yes.
But I mean, that's there's the practical reality of that.
Is it bad that I can only use one stall in my garage because of my barnwood that I've got stacked in the other stall?
Yes.
I also think, like, we have a situation right now where these people are moving and their husband's super attached to, like, a lot of stuff. So my suggestion was, you know what, like, you got to also prioritize the priority. You don't want to completely stress someone out, like, to the point where they are unhappy. Maybe give you, like, okay, you get, like, three bins. You get to keep whatever you want in those three bins. Like, you don't have to get rid of everything. It's just a suggestion to go through, organize, get rid of the things that you don't want or need. And here's the other thing. If you take it to St. Vincent de Paul, like the Golden House, people that are really struggling, like that need a break, can go there and shop for free. So what I also think is really important is something that a nightstand that's sitting in my house that's not being used, guess what? Someone could really use it. So I feel like getting that out into the public where it has use has value too.
Do you want to know what is the acid test in that? And this is almost sad in some ways, but I used to work for a company, just part-time. This is me, typical me. Cleaning out foreclosed houses, okay? And I've talked to a guy later on. One of them turns out to be somebody I knew. And I knew he'd lost his job and he was whatever and got a divorce. And, you know, so it wasn't like horrible, but it was just, but, and I said, hey, I got to be honest with you. I took some stuff. Like, you had a treadmill, you had a this, you had a that. He goes, yeah, he said, if you ever want to know what you really want, go through a foreclosure and watch how much stuff you just walk away from. And he said, I never looked back. He said, you just streamline your life. And I thought, like I said, that was the acid test right there for somebody.
I went to, did some decluttering and went and dropped it off at the Unity Restore.
Yeah.
And they have
that's another
there.
Great spot.
Love
it. Really great.
They have really good quality stuff.
Bought a dresser there last week for $10.
Right. But here's the problem, Johnny. I dropped stuff off and I bought more and bought more. You got to be, that discipline is so important in this process.
You know what I was just thinking, though, as you mentioned that, is one of the easiest things to get rid of is, you know, the old paint in your house, the old solvents, all the old electronics. Like the hazmat, you know, right by Baytowel.
We've had him on here.
Like
they
are amazing. Yeah. You just drive up, they literally take it out of the back of your
car. But you know what? Okay. I also bought some of that stuff, that dry, it's called paint dry. You put that, it's almost like a kitty litter. You'd be shocked. And then it just coagulates, and then you can put it in your regular garbage. Oh, so that's easy, too.
Well, I'd say the point is, if it's ready to move it out, move it out.
Right. We're going to set a quick break. Sandra Rank in the house with your very special guest.
Leslie Vogel.
Who is a?
Professional organizer.
I love this. Mine and the Mayor, back after this.
Only for me.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try soon. Harry's is available online and in-store at a retailer near you. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/quality. That's harrys.com/quality. Or check us out at your local Costco for a price you can't find anywhere else. Just look for the Chrome Razor with 13 blade refills at your local Costco. You can't miss it. Exclusive to Costco members.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Now, inside the house with Sandra Rank of Sandra Rank Realty with Keller Williams.
Thank you very much. Todd does such a great job on that, doesn't he? I mean, he's got that voice.
We did change our name, though, so we have to change that. It's the Sandra Rank Real Estate Collective. We changed
it. Oh, yeah. I did not know that. Yeah. Give it to us one more time.
Sandra Rank Real Estate Collective. We changed it because it really is a collective. We work so tightly together with each other, with the real estate community, with our clients, that we felt like it was more descriptive of who we are.
And with Leslie here today, we should maybe change it to Inside the Decluttered House.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be a gift?
Yeah. Yep, that's great, Jim. Good work. We're working on that. Todd, write that down. Okay, we're going to get on that.
Yeah, so Leslie Vogel was meeting with us.
Yep.
So let's
this is fun stuff, Leslie. I like this a lot.
I appreciate that.
Because
me too.
You're talking about something that I absolutely 100% need. That's not even a question. So
most people do. So I really feel like I want to leave people with, like,
let me just say one thing, though, Sandra.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I convince myself that, I work great and messy conditions, whatever. But when things are all clean and neat and whatever, it's a whole better feeling. So sometimes you just can be, oh, no, that's fine for me. But then when you do the other thing, there is that less stress.
Well, sometimes you don't know what you don't know if you don't do it.
Yes.
Right.
So I think that this is one of those cases. So Leslie, like, what's a really good way for people to start and to maintain?
So I think let's be realists here. Like, okay, you know, it gets very intimidating when you go online and see these people with the before and afters. So my suggestion is to pick something small. And it could be a kitchen drawer. It could be, you know, an office drawer. I think, you know, most importantly is pulling like items together and putting them in one space. And then if it belongs in that space, it should stay in that space. But, you know, for practical purposes, like, move through your home and choose one item. Is it all of your coats? Is it all of your shoes? Is it all of your makeup? Is it all of your batteries? Like, whatever it is, put it in one spot. Get rid of what you don't need. And this can translate to absolutely any category in your home. But once you look at a pile of items, of like items, it is astonishing when people are like, I had no idea I had that much in my home. And then it makes it that much easier to release some of those items. So again, collect like items in one spot and then decide what's really necessary.
But I like that a lot.
Can I give you when you told me that, here's an analogy that helped me. And this is so basic, but it helps me. Like in preschool, like when you have kids in preschool, they have buckets. And there's like toys, dolls, whatever. In my head, I do the preschool analogy. Like I did it in my back hall. I do it in my bathroom where I get ready. Like that's a zone where I'm a hot zone for me, like every day. So like all the hair care products are here. The, you know, like the gels are here. The, like my makeup is here. Like everything I need is absolutely categorized. So it's really quick and I keep it. I'm religious about keeping it that way. And it's made a big difference for me.
And I think you make a good point that when you really look at how many, like we did start with one drawer. I mean, the houses are so big and it's like, well, where do we start? I mean, we're just helpless. But one drawer, we went through and we had like six spatulas. You don't need six of these things, but I don't know, you buy them or you see them on sale. And I just think it's important that you start somewhere. But my bigger question to you is this. Is that something a husband and wife should do together or should you not?
You know, that actually brings up a really great question because there are so many emotional ties to our things. But often, you know, I do not work without a client. We work shoulder to shoulder to look at everything and determine a value. And when we are usually done, I oftentimes get a text that just says, my spouse is so happy. Like, so it doesn't, I think as long as you have one decision maker in the range
that you trust,
then you're ready to move forward. But that, you know, Sandra mentioned bins, and like, this is one area that I use bins and baskets quite often, because it's like, ask the hubby or ask the wife. Like, we might come across something, but if, you know, it's a questionable item, we set it aside. And I would never, you know, I would never throw out something that possibly had a value to someone else. But going back a little bit, like Sandra mentioned, you know, having, you know, your bins, your containers, like, this is the time where Target wants you to come and buy all their bins. But I really don't think that's necessary. Like, what you can do is literally start a pile, a laundry basket, and, you know, or even, you know, your brown paper bags, and just write on it, trash, donate, you know, give to, return to, like, and then as you go through your home, those bags, you know, they fill and they accumulate. And then the best thing that I can suggest that you do is move on that right away. So if you have a bag to donate, you know, we joke about seeing that stuff in the trunk, you know, for 3 weeks rolling around, like every time you turn right, it's like clunk, 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 right? Exactly.
Guilty.
Yep.
But one thing that I do for a lot of my clients is when we make a decision and it's ready to go, if I can, I leave with all of it. So make the decision and get it out.
I love your theory about I could just see Jim with six spatulas. I could see Jim in the stores. Don, I got to buy a spatula. Yeah. You have five at home. I know, but look at this one. Yeah, look at this one for the pancakes. When the kids come home, I need this one. But collecting them all together, and then you might realize a little bit more.
Yes. Do I need these?
Exactly. I can do that in my garage with different things.
Or you
things.
Can have a rule. If something comes in, something goes out.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too. Yeah.
That's very point. Effective.
And I like the thing about even just take one drawer. Or just take your shoes, or just instead of trying to do the whole thing that seems overwhelming, I like breaking it down.
I mean, honestly, right now, you could just open up your refrigerator door and throw out everything that's expired, right? I mean, hey.
Could you just back off on that a little bit?
We got a sensitive issue here.
So I don't back
did
up.
You hear about, did you hear about the sensitive issue with Jim and the refrigerator?
Yeah. No.
He was getting a new refrigerator yesterday, and it came and it had a broken drawer, and they had to take it away.
So now I don't have a new refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Very bummed
out. Now you'll have to wait.
I know.
Another helpful thing when you pick an area is to give yourself a time limit. Because sometimes people every day, like say, I'm going to do this drawer for 30 minutes. Give yourself 30 minutes so you don't go down the rabbit hole. That's super helpful to do that.
Everything you said about a rabbit hole, I've been down.
I know.
I can't hide it.
Shocker.
Yeah, I know.
That really is the danger, is getting sidetracked.
Yep.
So, you know, it's coming back. Like, remind yourself, this is the space I'm working on today. I might be running all over the house to put things, you know, just shoving it in the next room. But the priority is
go back to where you started.
This past Saturday, I was going to do that in my basement. Okay.
What happened?
I found, like, oh, I got to show this to Jim. Oh, wait till Jim bring this in to show Todd. That's what ended up happening.
Right.
You know what I mean? Honest to God, that was the whole thing it ended up being. Yeah.
Well, I think if you really want to make it a priority, you will. And I think knowing why you want to make it a priority is important because you feel better in your house. You just do.
Is there some website or book, or do you have something where people can contact you?
You know what I find really helpful is, you know, following someone online, like on Instagram, there is a group called The Home Edit. And they really walk through this process step by step. You know, I obviously work with homeowners and business owners.
You have a great Facebook. Why don't you mention that real quick?
It's funny. I don't advertise, so it's really not something that I'm on very often. But I am. You can find information about me at Leslie Vogel Home Organizing. And I just thank Sandra so much for asking me to join you this morning.
This is great. It's great having you.
You're helping everybody.
Yes. We could talk like for 3 hours.
Right.
We really could.
Sandra Rank, always good to have you. What's the name of your company now?
The Sandra Rank Real Estate Collective.
Love it. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you.
Fun show. Todd, great job as usual. Jim, best luck with the fridge, buddy. Best of luck.
Okay, Johnny. We'll see
back in tomorrow morning.
Oh, well,
see ya.
I knew I might.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning. Weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Governor Evers lays out his priorities for 2024 when he delivers his State of the State address. I'm News Director Terry Bell. Join Civic Media's Todd Albaugni as we bring you the governor's speech live, right here, Tuesday night at 7, followed by the Republican response. Todd and I will help you understand what it means for you, your family, and your community. Join us for the governor's State of the State address, Tuesday night at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
Listening to Oshkosh Air Support.
WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.